50, you see she's not there.
Okay.
She's not at home.
Mm-hmm.
18 and 60, she's not at home. These are the brothers and their families.
Okay.
But here is her brother, William H.
Mm-hmm.
And here is three little children, nieces, nephew. See, when they were born, this is about the time she was born.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure these has got to be the children of Caroline.
Okay.
And this little Samson he's talking about is the one you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
the boy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This has to be, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of information, I could never have got that up if you had been you people.
So who would you suppose has this Bible now that Mary had? You have no idea.
I remember I'd given gone for years or something.
Where did she live? Mary.
Near the Middle Mountain.
She lived on mm-hmm. out.
Yeah, you're about 33,
uh-huh.
and Middle Mountain. We went up there to visit her cemetery. She
yes.
had a private cemetery.
Uh-huh. She had children.
All right, you know, you're going down towards the Laurel Fork, down
uh-huh.
over the hill, and almost to the ridge, there's a road turning out to the right.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Mennonite Church, I believe it is out that way. Used to be a sign up there. I haven't been that way for a while. It may be down now. But you went out up that way. See, and I don't recall, we went out there about a mile, mile and a half, and then we turned up the right and went back on the mountain to Mary's house. I don't know, that's her son was living. I don't know.
And you know there was little children
there?
That's
right, yeah. Well,
and
that was her grandchildren now.
Oh, she has a family. I tell you, some Sunday, if you want to, we'll go search for them if you would like us to go with you.
Mm-hmm.
The boy, he used to work at Clarksburg.
But I have forgotten.
Yeah, he worked at Clarksburg. But now, that is the direction that they lived in.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason we went there was to get permission to go into her cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
She had a private cemetery up on the mountain there.
Mm-hmm.
And right next to the Wyatt Cemetery. There's several out there on Middle Mountain. And we talked about different things and we wound up with her.
If there's anything there you want to copy.
Well, I have...
with his permission.
I have...
I did that especially to show...
Some information on this. You can copy my Bible records if you want to.
So I sit down and copied it, just exactly what was in it. It wasn't too much, but that was what I copied.
She knew about it. You know what I find?
She knew about it. She wasn't at all surprised when we talked about it.
She didn't say much, no. She said, oh,
right. Why was...
copied. So it's interesting, these things that you run onto as time goes by and how they handle it.
And in cataloging these cemeteries, people would tell you these stories and things that had happened. And they were perfectly wonderful stories. But you see, I was doing just the cemeteries. I couldn't do all the little stories that would have come under folk stories, you know,
mm-hmm.
and folk history. It would have been wonderful. I bet I would have had volumes and volumes and volumes of them. It took us 30 years to do those three cemeteries.
Well, too, you have to be careful. You go from one family to another and tell them what the other has said. That's not a good policy. I should start with them first. Are you a native?
Of West Virginia, no.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm from Iowa.
I thought you had a Midwest accent.
I tell you, a little accident happened, proved out about to said this was a sawmill and a grist mill together, you know. Charlie and his wife, I took them over there one year and took them down to show them where this mill was. At that, now that's just a little small creek, and I was telling them about this here grist mill being, and looked over there in the sand and I seen a handle sticking up about that deep out of the sand. Remember this, Charlie,
yeah.
you too. I said, I wonder what that is. I just jumped across the creek and pulled it out, and you know what it was? It was one of them scoops that they use in the grist mill to Cleaned the meal out. He, I suppose she's got it yet.
That's your
lady. That laid there, I suppose, of what, 50 or 60 some years. And this, I tell me, look over and see the handle sticking out of the sand. But,
Lee, when Mr. Channel, Robert Channel, told you about this, did he tell you about the murder and all that?
All he told me that they took boards from the mill and made her a coffin. And like he told me, like he said, that she logged, you see. Most of the time you throw a body in the river, you know, if they sink and maybe lay in and then come up, but this girl didn't have a chance to sink. Mm-hmm. That's what he told me. They took, and by the way, I'll tell you something else. About all them mills saw was yellow poplar. Mm-hmm. They picked up yellow poplar. Mm-hmm. And that's what he told me. He can remember that. He was just a lad that they... And it was a very exciting thing in his lifetime.
Did he definitely name her as Naomi Wise?
Yes.
He did. Mm-hmm.
Because Bob was he's a neighbor of this man, yeah. Just a mile away. He just lived from a neighbor to him, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long Naomi lived with him. I just don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody else knows or not. But, he named her.
Did he work up at the Allender Sawmill?
Huh?
Did Robert Channel work with...
He owned a mill. His dad made the, built the mill, and Bob was raised there. I don't know what year he died, but the old fellow was 98 years old and he died.
Mm-hmm. I think it's on all those pictures. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess Pam was talking about the Allender Mill. Did he work up at the Allender Mill before his dad built the Channel Mill?
Bob, you mean? No. No.
Mm-hmm. But where she was drowned was at the Allender Mill. Yeah.
Yeah, the only grist mill it was right at Pettit, right down on the hill from this Cold Spring. Mm-hmm. That's the only mill it was.
If you had to put a year on that, what would your estimate be?
Oh, my, I just...
Well, we know what year Bob Channel was born.
Charlie, and that there marker on there, you come up pretty close. I think you thought you might be 6 or 7 years off. You remember that?
Yeah, but I think that's wrong way. I don't think that's right.
Mm-hmm. On that marker?
You mm-hmm. saw the age of those children there.
Kind of six people.
And it's in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And she could have been one of the older ones. Those are the younger ones. And you see the age on those children at that particular time.
Somewhere way back there, it's like on my 16 years. I don't know where that came from, but...
That she was 16 years old?
Yeah. Maybe it's Michael.
See, my mother died in the flu epidemic, 1918, and she was 32 when she died. So my mother was one of the youngest ones of the girls. Mm-hmm. Had to be. And Yoma had to be one of the oldest ones.
Yeah, I would say she was. She's 7 years old.
Yeah.
I always thought that Naomi might have been the oldest child. She must have been the oldest child. Yeah.
What year was your mother born, Lee?
Well, you'd have to count back. She died in 1918. She's 32 years of age and she dies.
Okay.
You count that back. I was a young lad. I was only about 11, 12 years old when she died. 86. So she had to be one of the youngest girls.
Naomi.
And Naomi had to be, like, say, one of the oldest.
Yeah, I see. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't, just to guess, I'd say maybe it'd be 25 or 30 years difference in age. Now, that'd just be a wild guess. It might not be that much.
Well, question I want to ask you, Lee. Now, when Bob Channel was telling you, and he stood here by the grave when they buried her.
Yeah.
You didn't think to ask him how old he was at the time.
Yes. I told you, Bob didn't know his age. He said, I was just a lad.
He's young.
Yeah, young lad. Then one of the boys, I think Ed and him, told me, he said, Dad don't know his age. I remember a joke. Men were up there one time, asked Bob how old he was. He said he was 67 going on 65. He's come back down. he had no education, you see, and he didn't know. But one thing the man would, he never lied. That man
His father was Sylvester, wasn't he?
Huh?
His father was Sylvester.
Yeah.
Civil War veteran.
Yeah, I remember his dad. I just remember him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just remember him.
We, you know, they said they'd like to have a bronze marker for him. Remember that bronze marker we took out of
there?
They liked that so well. We have some pictures. Remember that he gave us?
I phoned up to him.
Okay.
Sylvester and Robert.
Yeah.
Right. Did you folks ever make any attempt or effort to look for any press? Like, if somebody was murdered at that day and time, it would have been big news. And was there any? I'm sure
if there was. Not in Randolph County.
There was no press in Randolph County at that time.
I have looked. But that doesn't mean there wasn't something in the papers, because our papers that we have access to are not complete.
Sure.
They are scattered. You know, sometimes in a year at West Virginia University, you know, from working in it, there's only maybe 3 or 4 copies in a year.
Right. Yeah.
So
the last copies we had from Barbary.
We can't rule that out.
Yeah.
Although it would.
But you have looked. Yeah.
I have looked.
Yeah.
Well, Charlie, did you get the information that that he confessed about killing her to a preacher before he died or anything like that? I've heard about that.
It was in the song, and I got the rest of it from someplace else. But a lot of that, I, as I say, it's been so many years ago, I wrote it down, and I kind of don't recall very well. I got started on some other projects, and I kind of lost interest in them.
Yeah, I think one of the notes I read said something about there was a doctor in Elkins, and it listed the doctor's name that he supposedly confessed to. But you've never, you've never turned up any hard evidence in a census
court
or anything.
Court records, no.
I'm talking about John Lewis.
Oh.
He never shows up in any
no,
census.
Because he wasn't a native.
Yeah.
So therefore there was no record of him.
Right.
He didn't own property.
Right.
So, you see, there's no way we would have had a record of him.
The only thing I was thinking, the one thing you thought, or somebody told you that he maybe went down to Cherry River Boom and Lumber Company to work?
At Richwood. Yeah.
It's possible, I'll have to check West Virginia Collection, but it's possible that they would have some company records.
You might pick up, I think Gus Cricker told me that. A.J. Cricker, he was the sheriff of Randolph County for many years. His son worked at Cherry River Boom Lumber Company in Richwood in the early days. And he wound up down there, as I recall. He mentioned it, Gus mentioned it quite casually and just in passing. It wasn't. I don't remember too much about him when he said.
I didn't know Gus.
Well, no, he didn't. But Gus.
Down to Morgantown, go to the library, you might get some information. Because this girl said there were 52 pages. On the Elmer Wires down there. You might get some information out of that. I don't know. But I know I went to Beverly and tried to get some information on Lewis, and you couldn't, because the courthouse, if there was anything in the courthouse, you know, the courthouse burned down up there. Yeah.
All the 1880
records.
Yeah, people of Elk can see they burned it.
Mm-hmm.
But Lee, most of those records were saved. We didn't lose too many
didn't.
In that fire. Oh, no. They knew they were coming, so they took the records.
They were a stealing job, you know.
They
was good at that back then. One town went to courthouse, they'd either rob it or burn it up, and then they'd move to the next one.
Well, you know, when they moved to St. George, the same thing happened there.
They some rascals same living thing, back them days.
Same thing from being to the Philippines, Barber County. Same thing happened.
And it happened all through Pennsylvania.
And from Beverly to Elkins. Because the Elkins is very powerful. Elkins and Davis in those days, they were big operators. They controlled.
By Mr. Channel telling me that that he tended to the grave and knowing the old fella, that's all I need to stand on. That's all I need. Yeah. Because the old boy never knew to tell a lie, and he's too young. Mm-hmm. And why did the women plant roses out there years ago if there hadn't been a grave or something? And I said.
I knew Eddie and the boys, and they were very truthful.
Oh, yeah. And they told Charlie, their dad talked over to the boys hundreds and hundreds of times over. Mm-hmm. I tell you, Charlie, about 5 or 6 years ago, I got bugged so bad, people, and there's about 2 parties from Tucker County come over there with books, proved to me that there's a relation to Noma Y. it just bugged the life out of me, and I said, anybody comes after me just from curiosity, for normal wise, it's off. Uh-huh. And that's when I knew you come, this boy, it was facts, and I'd been, they just, for about a week, they bugged life off the wife's relation to her. It was no honor to me or nobody else. It was because the song happened to be popular in North Carolina, and so it went claiming it, and they just tested the life out of me about it, but let me the books prove it, they was relations.
We had a big turnout that night at Parsons, you remember? Standing room on you.
Well, I thought anybody come to me long night, curiosity, and I knew, when Charlie come about you, I knew it was the facts.
Tell me about that, Charlie, at Parsons. What did you do at Parsons?
Oh, I misspoke. It was at Hendricks, the Tucker County Historical Society. They had a meeting and they wanted something, something that would happen. And so I said, well, did you ever hear the story about Naomi Wyatt? No, it hadn't. So we got into that, and they had talked it up a little bit. So these people came. I know all the Islanders, they came from Maryland. They wanted to hear it and talk about it. And they came around and talked to me afterwards, and the things that they had heard, you know, and mm-hmm. they knew about the mill and things that happened there, and they knew Lee and knew Mr. Chan and all those, and yeah, the fine talk there. But I don't think the standing room only wasn't in there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you know Mr. Morgan died here not too long ago?
Who?
Mr. Morgan, you know, the Morgans were the president, she was the president of it, and John died. They used to have the historical side. They were, Maxine was the president of it. I don't know mm-hmm. if she still is or not. They lived there in Hendricks. And they had the historical society. They were it. They kept it going. Uh-huh. They kept the inner stuff, you know. And it was pretty good. Those people were very cooperative after they got to know you and talked about it, you know.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You see, Charlie... Well, the Historical Society belonged to, they tried to buy that lot there where the home was buried. But that time they couldn't because the way the will was wrote, why it went to Gay's children. But I could find out, Charlie, who owns that land today, because I tell you the reason. I was visiting a relation of mine in a rest home the other day, and I met a nurse there, and of course she's mentioned about Parsons. I got interested in being nasty. Yes. And she married. You know, you didn't know Vineyard Summerfield, but Vineyard was raised right there at Pettit, raised mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. Well, he was Gay Summerfield's brother-in-law. And she told me she married his boy,
this nurse.
And next time I go down to the rest home, which I'm going this week, I'm going to, she's on the surface, I'm going to ask her about her boy and if how that land... Now, who owns that land now? She knows since she married into that family, I bet you.
Uh-huh.
I'll just find out.
Yes, I'd like to know that.
But that grave can never be bothered, because you'd have to give court order to bother it. And then there's there's an organization, Gators, there's an organization from Charleston wanting to buy that at that time. They said to come up there to have a party. I don't know what the party they wanting to have. Remember Gators that? And she couldn't sell it to them.
She stopped it. Mm-hmm.
The way her husband left the deed, you know, the will.
Chapters with a different color.
Well, it's certainly something you have to know where it's at.
Yeah, that's right. When was you there last?
Well, actually, I found it. We were there last week. I took Jerry out there and showed it to him.
There's nothing destroyed, was there? Nothing beat off or nothing?
No, it's in fine shape. It's just very overgrown by plants at this point.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, it seemed to be fine. Yeah. And were you the one that built the wall around that? Were you involved with that?
Oh, we wouldn't have done it.
Okay.
We got a group of boys from the church, went over there, and you know, there's plenty of rocks there. We had stonemasons and all. And Charlie got a gate and a marker and took the table over there. Women fixed a big lunch. Oh, 25 or 30 wasn't there. Built that wall and had lunch there.
Yeah. We spent the entire day.
Huh?
We spent the entire day.
You mean Gay walked out there and she got out there and Eddie Channel come too, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he came down.
Yeah. You know, quite a bust.
Now, this Gay Summerfield, right? Is she the one that claimed that?
She was the lady that lived in the house where she lived.
She lived in the house where
you're tearing. You said you're tearing it down now.
But Naomi also lived in that house, isn't
it?
Oh,
yes. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes.
And who would have been the keeper of the house at that time?
Well, that's where Randolph was.
He was a saw father.
Okay.
Saw saws.
At the Allender Mill. Mm-hmm.
You drive up and down that
Second Manassas, I believe it was, or Chantilly.
Is that the old house down there below the stair standing? Lived below the road there.
Where at?
Well, it's about a mile down the road from where you live near Shanty.
There's a log house there, and now there's another house built next
to it.
Yeah,
that's it. I built that house in Depression days and raised 7 children there and that. I'd like to tore that down. He'd give that to anybody to move it away.
That's right, he said, yeah.
And it's rotten down, and he's a wonderful guy that lives there. He's a, I don't know what he is, he's a state officer or something at the Parsons.
Yeah, he works for the Wildlife Department.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I would, if I'd been able to like to tore it down and had it rebuilt, but I wasn't able to do it.
Al, do you know where the Adams Spring is over there?
Now that, I don't know where that's at. I'd be interested to know where that's at.
Well, the Fine Springs.
Is that above the log house?
Below, down over the hill.
Below the road.
Below the road.
I do know where that's at. There's like where the logging road was, there was a little footpath that went to it.
And it's concreted up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but so, that time there's rock. But a man, I don't know if you've seen that cabin, there's a nice cabin built down in that flat, down in the wood in the bottom. So he had that spring concreted up and put a plastic pipe clear in and cleaned up that his cabin. Mr. Dorman used to own a Dorman Mill at Parsons.
Yeah.
He wanted to build a cabin now. I suppose he's standing down there yet and build the water.
Is that the spring box we saw? Or
yeah.
That was above the house. When we...
It's below the road.
It's
below the road.
When we walked back up from where the Allender Sawmill was on the road that led down to it, just before the top, there was the remnants of a pathway that went back down to the spring.
And that was called Allender Spring?
Uh-huh.
Adams Spring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't walk down there, but you could see the water, you could see it, and that's where Gene was saying, and Martin, that they always got their water if they went down
there. See, that was built up by stone and had a nice big stone on top of it. And then it had a nice big flat stone in the front. And you always get water and everyone dry. Now this house that there turned down where Mr. What's-his-name lived in, now right above that house was it a good spring from there, a wonderful spring.
Now, that spring we're talking about, the one down below the road, did you know that when you were young? Was that spring always there?
Yeah, I knew the spring was there, but I didn't know about the connection, you see, because all I knew...
Did it have a name? Spring? Did you know it as a name, or was it just...
Well, I guess it went by the name of the Allender Spring because of the reason. I guess that's where the men got the water from the grist mill right below there, you see, is the water for them to get. And like I say, I was interested in the song. I was about 16 or 17. I was raised just about a mile, or I wasn't raised, I was grown up, just about a mile above this cross river on what's called the Pennington Farm over there. I went to school up there at Pettit. There's a man, a woman living in that schoolhouse yet. And that's where I got most of my education.
Mm-hmm. Was there something I've thought about is if, you know, when a murder happens out in the country, almost an awful lot of the time, somebody will come up with a ghost story, you know, about the girl that, did you ever hear anything like that about a Naomi Wise ghost or anything?
No, just like she said, things just kept kind of quiet. You had to get things out of
just
people.
Just something they did not talk
about. See. Now, the old man Channel, if somebody hadn't told him, I don't know who told him, she's kin folks to me, if somebody hadn't told him, he'd never open his mouth when I told him about that floor. He's just
that
tight.
He was just that tight.
Then the only thing that I heard was my Aunt Jane Pinchin, which she knows who I'm talking about, she always told me that... she said that last year over there buried his kinfolks, yes, and she said I was her sister to her mother. Now, that's one thing Aunt Jane Pennington told me. Of course, Charlie knows who I'm.
What was her byword again?
Lassie. And Bob Chandler, he'd go tell you anything. He said, Shazee, he said. Shazee.
We've got Robert in our cemetery right now.
Yes, but I have the dates on those papers. Okay, I gave you.
I think we've got his cemetery. Have we got Sylvester in there?
Yeah, that was the word that my women used for a young person in Lassie, you know.
She got his Sylvester war record, I know, in order to get the marker for him. Mm-hmm. Bronze marker, you see. If you get the war record, then you can say, at one time, I don't know how that is, what's the restrictions, the budget restrictions we have, you paid $5 for the war record, but the marker was sent free. But you had to have the caretaker of the cemetery, whoever was in charge, to certify that they would place it in the cemetery, a certain cemetery, and sign it. And so we did that for several years. A lot of people would like to have the soldiers marked, and say that's the way we got into it. And it would sort of snowball into some other thing, you know, along the way. But Sylvester, I think we had a picture of him too. Wasn't there a picture? A negative. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, when I was a young fellow, they even had a post office there up there. Mm-hmm. There's a house named Hazard had that post office. I remember just a little fellow, and one of them was going upstairs, and we could look down by the pipe, the stove pipe hole, you know, uh-huh. and seeing him counting the pennies out. Boy, that was big for us. For us seeing counting pennies, yeah, when I. And the mailman had a mail car. He lived over way against the mountain. He used to be a what's called schooner or sod. You've heard of
him. Yeah, I know it is.
And that man lived up there, carried the mail. He'd go down to Porterwood, and I guess, and get the mail as the train dropped it off and bring it up. Mm-hmm. Well, if he come off of the mountain and the river was raised, why, he'd have to go back. He couldn't get here. Yeah, he had to ford the river three or four times. That's where he Pettit got his mail there. Yeah.
Well, Owen Cricker, that was A.J.'s son that worked for Cherry Ever Boom Lumber. He got me the information on that post office when it was closed. It was either 1908, I believe, was the last
day. Pettit?
Pettit. And it was, they closed it.
In some place you had the name of a man named Pettit who you thought might have been...
Yeah. See, the Pettit place right across the river here, we call it. Mm-hmm. It at one time was called Faraway Hills. It was an inn. quite a pretentious house right across. It's on the Georgetown Road. Mm-hmm. Sits up on the hill there. That's the August Pettis place. And he also didn't he start that mine at Flint, Lee?
Who?
Pettit. Didn't he have that mine there at Flint in the early days?
I just don't remember, Charlie, now.
But they did kept pretty much themselves. He's buried in the Beverly Cemetery. The only time that I was ever there officially, you had to drive. You drove in one way and out the other, you see, like this, a circuitous route. And I went up there to get a girl one time when I was going to school. And I had heard the dogs, watch for the dogs when you get there. So I didn't know exactly what they meant. So I rolled the window down and I got up in the driveway there and I felt something sort of muzzle my arm and looked at this dog right there standing there. And his muzzle just rested on my arm. So I blew the horn. I didn't get out to go after the girl. They had two of those dogs, Lee. And they roamed the ground there. You'd go up there and those dogs would come out to meet you. But they weren't really vicious dogs, it's just the size of them intimidated you, you know.
You know, if I'd have thought of it, Horace Johnson, now he lived, you know where this schoolhouse is, don't you, over there?
The Nail Run Schoolhouse?
Yeah, now this man, on up the road, there's a little place along the road, and all about a mile and a half of it, and he built a little shack. Back that time they'd build, they weren't used two before, they'd put all the boards straight up, you know, and build a roof. Now he told me he worked on that mill. And he said, I could carry three boards, all I could carry on my shoulder overnight, home, till I got my shack built. Uh-huh. And if I'd have thought, had an interest, you see, I could ask him. He'd know a good bit about that. But like I say, I wasn't interested in nothing only the song. Of course, that was later. I was.
So, man, those people are gone now. There's nobody to ask you the trouble.
Yeah, it's too late.
I got, after she had her heart attack and got so bad, I let everything go. And then I got started on the English and the English settlement, you know, at Bengal. My other thing was my grandfather hunted with the English. And you